Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 1, text 219 and 220. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya, I'm going to read the previous verse. All the Vaishnava associates of the Lord were present, including Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda Pandit, Murari, and Vakreshvara. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, immediately touched the lotus feet of these Vaishnavas, who all became very happy and congratulated the two brothers for having received the mercy of the Lord. Oh, that's the purport, sorry. When they saw that Rupa and Sanatan were fortunate enough to receive the mercy of the Lord, they were so pleased that they all congratulated the two brothers. A jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnav is not at all happy to see the success of another Vaishnav in receiving the Lord's mercy. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many mundane persons in the dress of Vaishnavs, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as disciples of Kali. He says Kali Chela. He indicates that there is another Vaishnav, a pseudo Vaishnav, with tilak on his nose and kanti beads around his neck. Such a pseudo Vaishnav associates with money and women and is jealous of successful Vaishnavs. Although passing for a Vaishnav, his only business is earning money in the dress of a Vaishnav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says that such a pseudo Vaishnav is not a Vaishnav at all, but a disciple of Kali Yuga. A disciple of Kali cannot become an Acharya by the decision of some high court. Mundane votes have no jurisdiction to elect a Vaishnav Acharya. A Vaishnav Acharya is self-effulgent, and there is no need for any court judgment. A false Acharya may try to override a Vaishnav by a high court decision, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is nothing but a disciple of Kali Yuga. All the Vaishnava associates of the Lord were present, including Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda Pandit, Murari, and Vakreshvara. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, immediately touched the lotus feet of these Vaishnavas, who all became very happy and congratulated the two brothers for having received the mercy of the Lord. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Panchaktatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you all for coming. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. So try and say something relevant and hopefully inspiring. Not that I can guarantee that, but I will try. But actually, inspiration is very much connected with today's verse and purport. Inspiration in the form of mercy. So the translation is about how the Vaishnavas happily gave their blessings to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami because Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were blessed by the Lord. And the purport is indirectly, or rather obviously, relating to the problems that went on in the Gaudiya Math after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So here's a question. Let's join the dots. What is the connection between the translation and the purport? Anyone like to offer? Why would Prabhupada be talking about the goings-on in the Gaudiya Math, the rather inauspicious goings-on in the Gaudiya Math? What's the connection? Anyone like to offer a... Yes.
I understand simply that the Vaishnavas were happy to give their blessings. So Srila Prabhupada saying that those that are non-Vaishnavas, they are jealous and they are envy those persons who get the mercy of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada got the mercy of the Lord and they were jealous, trying to impede his further progress.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's kind of obvious, but I just thought I'd double check with you because it's not written anywhere, but that's kind of what's been said. So there's an interesting purport in the 10th chapter of Adi Lila, where Srila Prabhupada talks about how envious people did not like that I took the title Prabhupada. And then they formed a group and they started criticizing the Hare Krishna movement. So Srila Prabhupada, he's not shy to indicate his position as Acharya. He was very particular that all his books had the term founder Acharya written on them. It wasn't enough to write Srila Prabhupada or Bhaktivedanta Swami. He wanted founder Acharya. And in recent years, the GBC have made a point of emphasizing this, and then there's a GBC paper called Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya. And anyone who wants initiation, ISKCON is meant to read that book. Anyway, here's a question. How is it not a violation of humility to present oneself as an Acharya? You think about it, right? How is it not a violation of humility? One should see oneself as lower than the straw in the street. Therefore, one shouldn't say, I am Acharya. So how is it not a violation of humility? Anyone idea? Any ideas? Yes, Sanjay Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I think at the time, maybe Srila Prabhupada saw what happened with the Gaudiya Math and his spiritual master after his departure. There were a lot of so-called disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj who wanted the peace of the action, as it were. Yeah. So he wanted to establish that, you know, in ISKCON, there needs to be a governing body. And therefore, if there's one founder Acharya, then that personality can be then take precedence over the entire creation of ISKCON, rather than after his departure, things starting to fall down.
Okay, but here's a question. Why would Prabhupada say, I'm the Acharya? Why did he not say, well, we need an Acharya, we need a governing body, but I'm not that person? Why did he not say, I'm simply a fallen person, I have no qualification? Why did he not do that?
Isn't it because they at that time they needed the guidance, they needed somebody strong to be able to do that?
So they needed someone strong, and Srila Prabhupada saw himself as the person that could do that, yeah? Okay. Representative? Okay, he's representing his spiritual master? Okay.
Yeah, he never actually said that, look, I'm God or I'm this or I'm that. God, he always said that I am the servant of my spiritual master. I've only come here because my spiritual master sent me here. He was quite happy in Vrindavan, but he was actually meditating as to how he can get this mercy and then come across to the Western countries and spread this word.
Interesting. I mean, there is a famous speech by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati where he actually addresses this question of how is it possible for the guru to sit on a seat and receive all this worship? Is it not like the action of a brute or a beast to receive that honor? But the answer is, Jari Deka Tari Kohoi Krishna Padesh Amara Gyaya Guru Hoi Tari Idesh. The humility is one takes the order of the spiritual master. So Mahaprabhu has ordered everyone to become guru. So we, all of us, to our capacity, should try our best to become guru. And that, if that means on an order from a superior that one takes the position of guru and even acharya, then one will humbly do that, because to not do that would be breaking the order of the superior, which is not humility, you see. So it's the way it works. So I said, Guru Rupi Krishna Kripa Karena Bhaktagani. The Krishna's mercy manifests as the guru. So you imagine the situation. Krishna, Vaishnava, a Vaishnava community is worshipping Krishna, praying for the mercy of Krishna. And then when someone like Srila Prabhupada comes and he's empowered and he's carrying that mercy, then what do those Vaishnavas do? Some of them, they got very critical. Now, there's a lot of interesting discussion we can have about etiquette in connection with criticizing Vaishnavas. There was one Prabhupada disciple. he was sent to honor the Vyasa Pucha of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he was puzzled because this godbrother had been very, very critical of Srila Prabhupada, but still Prabhupada sent a representative. So he could understand from that that some of these arguments, they don't run very deep. And there was one letter to Prabhupada wrote to Brahmananda Prabhu, and he said, in spite of all the differences, none of my godbrothers deviated from service to Krishna. So we have to be intelligent. What does it mean to be intelligent? To be able to hold contradictory positions at the same time. So in this situation, we should be intelligent, because if we go on either one side, too much on one side or too much on the other, then we can actually make a mistake. We can actually commit aparad. It's said that when you take sides, when superiors are disagreeing, if a junior takes sides, then that is bad for the junior's spiritual life. Now, there's an interesting example of that can help us understand the boundaries of bona fide criticism and offense. And this is a story told by Jayapataka Maharaj. One time, Prabhupada, with his disciples, they went to the birthplace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it was under the care of Lalita Prasad, who was one of the sons of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there was some kind of plan that ISKCON would help to renovate this property because it was run down. So what happened was, it was kind of partially agreed, and then Prabhupada went away. But when he came back sometime later, some of the disciples of Lalita Prasad, they had decided this is not a good idea, we shouldn't involve ISKCON at all. So when Prabhupada came back, they rejected the proposal. And as the conversation went on, Prabhupada suddenly raised his voice. He got very angry. He wasn't shouting, but he was almost shouting. And he said, is it not a sin if you cannot improve this residence and someone else can and you're stopping them? And he said it over and over again, isn't it a sin? And he kept saying it. And as he walked out, he says to his disciples, he said, because I phrased as a question, it wasn't an aparad. So if, for example, Prabhupada said, you're a nonsense, you're not doing this, then that would have been offensive. Remember, he's talking to the brother of his spiritual master, Lalita Prasad. And philosophically, he had a different angle to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, so it's not in our line. But anyway, he's still to be respected as the brother of the spiritual master. So that's an example of how we can raise our concerns without committing an aparad. It said, Acharya mam vijaniyam nava manyata karachit na marcha buddha suyata sarva deva mayo guruhu. That the Acharya is non-different from Krishna. Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He says, I am the Acharya. Therefore, one should never see the Acharya with mundane vision. Na marcha buddha suyata is envy. So envy of the Acharya is such a grave offense. It's such a grave offense. It's Gurushu Naramati Yashava Naraki Saha. Padma Purana says, if you see the guru with mundane eyes, mundane vision, then you're an aparadi. You're a Naraki. You're already in hell. So we have to be very, very careful here. So let's go back to the goings on at the Gaudiya Math. Now, it happened a long time ago, and people don't normally name names, but sometimes it's discussed. Let's just say there were two very prominent personalities involved in the fighting over who had control of the Gaudiya Math. One was called Kunja Bihari. He was the manager, and he was blessed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that he can manage the Gaudiya Math for his entire life. Then there was Ananta Vasudev, who was a very prominent disciple who was more shastrically, more bhajan-orientated. And after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, these two personalities were mainly fighting over who would have control of the Gaudiya Math. So Prabhupada's kind of pointing out the absurdity of it all, that you go for a court decision to try and sort this out. So the Acharya is non-different from Krishna. The Acharya is the mercy of Krishna. And therefore you go to a court to get a judge to decide where the mercy of Krishna lies, right? Does it make sense? Of course it doesn't, right? So anyway, Prabhupada, he was close friends with Bhakti Rakshat Sridhar Maharaj, and they both used to glorify each other. But he one time, and Bhakti Raksha Srila Maharaj, he kind of laughs at the way Prabhupada, he said he did not even spare me, because Prabhupada, he did not even, he even criticized his, he, someone who he described as a Shiksha Guru, Bhakti Raksha Srila Maharaj, because he was involved in this process of electing an acharya, which then backfired. So Prabhupada, here's an interesting conversation, I've got it written here. And before I read this out, what did Prabhupada instruct us? We learn a lesson, a very important lesson from this incident of the Gaudiya Mad of electing acharyas. What lesson did we learn? What did Prabhupada teach us about electing acharyas? Of a GBC, yeah. So what was his vision? Prabhupada's vision was? Don't have one person, have a GBC. Anyone agree with that? Anyone disagree? But commission. Yeah, okay, that is, yeah. Governing body commission. Prabhupada emphasized that, he emphasized that we set up a GBC. But actually, he didn't strictly say we couldn't have one person in charge. One time, someone asked Prabhupada, some reporter, I think, who will succeed you? And he said, well, there's a committee. I have 18 men, they can run it, or they can elect one person to do it. It's a common misconception that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did not want a self-effulgent acharya to succeed him. And here's one conversation. There's two conversations where Prabhupada indicates this. Because we hear the part about setting up a GBC, but we don't hear the other part. So here's one conversation. It's from a room conversation, 1973 in Bombay. None of them were advised by Guru Maharaj to become acharya. His idea was, let them manage, then whoever will be actually qualified for becoming acharya, they will elect. Why I should enforce upon them? That was his plan. Let them manage by strong governing body as it is going on. Then acharya will come by his qualification. But they wanted that because at heart they were, after demise of Guru, I shall become acharya, I shall become acharya. So all the acharyas began fight. You see, so what's Prabhupada saying? He said, an actual qualified acharya they can elect. So this is a subtle difference, subtle point, because in the purport, Prabhupada says, mundane votes have no jurisdiction to elect a Vaishnava acharya. And then he's saying, his Guru Maharaj says, a qualified acharya will become and they will elect. So how do we resolve this? In the purport, he's saying, we cannot elect. And in the conversation, he says, you can elect. In another conversation, he says, they can select. So what's the point that's been made? It's this word mundane, by mundane votes. It's about the qualification of the people that are making the decision, you see? So it said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Na Bhujaya. No one, even an intelligent person, cannot understand the words, qualifications, and actions of a pure Vaishnav. So it's very difficult to see an acharya. But if you're powered by Krishna, Krishna gives you that vision, then you can see and you can elect an acharya. So that's the point. So the point Prabhupada is making is not that they shouldn't have elected someone. They should have waited, and then if someone qualified emerged, they could then say this person's an acharya. But his objection was they didn't actually see, they didn't have the proper vision, and therefore they elected someone, then someone disagreed, then they started fighting, I am the acharya, no, I am the acharya. So that's kind of how it all unfolded. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So if we compare those goings on with the pastime here, when Rupa and Sanatan received the mercy, then the other Vaishnavs, they were very happy and they appreciated very much that they were blessed. So Prabhupada's kind of saying, my godbrother should have been more happy that I had been empowered by Krishna. So it said, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Without the mercy of Krishna, there cannot be the spreading of Krishna consciousness. So the very fact that Srila Prabhupada could come to the West and create this whole Hare Krishna movement, that is the proof in itself that he was empowered by Krishna. Right? So Here's a question. I mentioned earlier on that some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, they criticized that he took the name Prabhupada. So the history goes like this. There was once, after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, a group of senior devotees, disciples, they agreed amongst themselves that no one would take the title Prabhupada. They thought, Prabhupada is a wonderful title. We're not going to try and emulate him. We're just going to like keep that title for him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is such a great person. None of us can qualify to be on the same level as him. Therefore, we won't take the title Prabhupada. That's what they were thinking. Now, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he wasn't present at that particular discussion. So when he went to the West, they were calling him Swamiji. Then after a while, he said, actually, it's better you call me something else. And what should we call you? He said, oh, Gurudev or Vishnupad or Prabhupada. And they said, well, which is best? And he said, well, Prabhupada's good. So they said, we'll call you Prabhupada. This is Govinda Dasi. So that's how they started calling him Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada came back to India, there was big trouble amongst his godbrothers. He is taking the title Prabhupada. Imagine. Now, we're going back to this point about humility. They said to Prabhupada, they said, we agreed no one would take the title Prabhupada. So at that time, Prabhupada could have said, okay, I didn't know, but I will withdraw the title. But he didn't. He said, no, I'm going to keep the title Prabhupada. That's still humility, because he knew his position. Someone can be humble and know their position. It's a contradiction almost. But he knew his position as like he deserved that title. So what does the word Prabhupada mean? There's actually quite a number of different meanings. We can go through some of them. What does the word Prabhupada mean? Taking shelter of the feet of Guru. Well, we could say Prabhupada took shelter of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is his Prabhu. Therefore, he has taken complete shelter of his Guru. Therefore, he can be called Prabhupada. That's one meaning. Yeah, well, one at whose feet all the Prabhus sit. So we have Prabhupada. Prabhupada teached so many Vaishnavas. So many of them became spiritual masters. They could deliver the world. So all these Prabhus, they all sat at the feet of Prabhupada. So he's the person at whose feet the spiritual masters, or we're all Vaishnavas. All Vaishnavas should be spiritual masters. All the Vaishnavas who are spiritual masters all sat at the feet of Prabhupada. Thank you. Any other meanings? One of the most common meanings Prabhupada gave was one who has taken the position of Prabhu. So when you become a spiritual master, you say, I am the representative of Krishna. It's a very bold statement, but you say, I am the representative of Krishna. I am taking that position. And you're doing it on the order of your superiors. So Prabhu here means Krishna. So Prabhupada means the Guru is non-different from Krishna. So it said, Jiva Shakshad Nahitati Guru Chicharupa Kshiksha Guru Hoi Krishna Mahant Sarupa. That the super soul cannot be directly accessed by the conditioned souls. Therefore, Krishna sends his Mahant Swarup, the pure devotee, who is directly Krishna himself. Prabhupada's words. That's the translation. Krishna Mahant Swarup. It means the spiritual master is directly Krishna himself. Or he is the personality of Krishna. Krishna Swarup. Very elevated status. And of course, we have to be very careful here. We follow Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Therefore, Yajapi Amara Guru, Chaitanya Radas, Tatapi, Janiyi, Ame, Tanghara Prakash. This is all from Adilila, chapter 1. That although I see the spiritual master as Chaitanya Das, servant of Krishna, I see him as Tanghara Prakash, I see him as a direct manifestation of Krishna. So we have dual vision of the spiritual master. He is both Krishna and he's servant of Krishna. And if you see him as only directly Krishna, this is Mayavad. So Prabhupada was so merciful, but on one occasion he excommunicated four of his disciples because they said, Prabhupada is Krishna, and he's gone to India, and he's not coming back because we didn't recognize that he was Krishna. So Prabhupada tolerated so much, but that was the line. He crossed over a line, and he excommunicated them and said, they can preach, become purified, then they can come back. So the question is, why was it such a big offense? The Prabhupada said, it's Mayavad. And it was, how is it Mayavad? And it is Mayavad because if you say the Guru is God, then you think, but I can become a Guru. You know, I can't become God, but I can become a guru. But if a guru is God, then you're saying that you can become God. So Prabhupada, he identified this as the infection of Mayavad. So, in the 11th canto, there's a beautiful verse. Naivopa yancha pachitam kavayastavesha buddha yushapi kritam rida muda smarantaha yantar bahis tanubitam ashubam vidunvan acharya checha vapusha swagatim vyanakti. The great transcendentalist, even within a lifetime of Lord Brahma, cannot express their gratitude to Krishna for having come as the acharya and as the checha guru, who then reveals the path. So when anyone has been touched by the mercy of the acharya and by the mercy of the supersoul, then the symptom will be that person will have unbounded gratitude. Here has come someone, Krishna's mercy is manifested as the guru and as the checha guru, in order that we can advance spiritually. Otherwise, we're disconnected. We're so disconnected from Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, Krishna is the supreme pure. Unless you become pure, you cannot contact the supreme pure. But the guru is different. The guru will come even though we're impure, and the guru will actively remove us from our ignorance, and he will chase after us and bring us to Krishna, even against our will. That's one of the statements in the 11th canto. Mayam rigam dayata ipsitam anvadavad. Lord Chaitanya's glorious because Mayam rigam means those who are chasing after Maya, the conditioned souls, and he was then running after them. So this is wonderful, because who has the wealth? The great wealth is Krishna Prema. So Mahaprabhu, he has the wealth. Everyone should be running to Mahaprabhu to get the wealth. But due to Maya, they're not interested. Therefore, it's described the Prema Jal in the CC. The Prema Jal means there's a network of Prema. So Lord Chaitanya was devising ways to bring everyone to Krishna. So which personalities were opposed to receiving the mercy of Krishna? He mentions some in Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions some of these personalities who were opposed to receiving the mercy. Therefore, Mahaprabhu had to find a technique. He took sannyas in order to spread the mercy to those personalities who did not want the mercy. Anyone name some of them? There's about four or five categories. The Mayavadis, they were like the hardest to deliver, right? Of all of them, they were the hardest because they thought, I'm God, you know, I don't need to be delivered. I'm already God. Anyone else? Smarter Brahmins, yes. Others? Dry philosophers. There's the Karmanishtas, those who are addicted to fruitive activities. False students. We pretty much got all of them. And so all of them, these particular categories, now they're, in from the mundane perspective, some of them are on high platform. They're pundits. They're sannyasis. They're very elevated. But it's, you notice how it's the common, everyday people. They took to the mercy before the great people. So it's a lesson to us all. You know, greatness in this world can be a very deep obstacle. As Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God than to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. So having wealth can be a very great obstacle. And that wealth can be either the sort of financial wealth, but it can also be like the wealth of knowledge or the wealth of good birth, the wealth of having a comfortable living. It's very difficult for people in that situation to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, Queen Kunti prays, what's the verse? Janmaishvarya Shuta Shibir Eda Mana Madapuman Naiva Hart Jabidatum Vai Tvam Makinchana Gochara. If you have Janma, means good birth, Aishvarya, wealth, Shruti, knowledge, and Shri, beauty, very difficult to sincerely call out to Krishna. Yeah. Therefore, Krishna has to take everything away. He's known as Hari. Takes away all our material things, and therefore we're left to depend on him. And that's the way that Krishna ultimately gives his mercy. So we're discussing acharyas. Here's an interesting story. Atmatattva Prabhu tells the story. One time, some devotees from the Ramanandis. The Ramanandis are a group. They follow Ramanujacharya. They're a subgroup of the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya. In fact, if we know the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the Ramanandis, they complained about Radha Krishna worship within the Gaudiya line. And then they challenged, it was Baladeva Jabushana, they challenged me. We don't take you as authoritative. You don't have a commentary of Vedanta Sutra, so we can't take you seriously. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he blessed Baladeva Jabushana. And Baladeva Jabushana, he got the mercy of Lord Govinda. Therefore, he compiled the Govinda Bhashya. Lord Govinda empowered him. He wrote this commentary, the Govinda Bhashya. And that way, the reputation of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas was maintained. So these Ramanandis, one time they visited Srila Prabhupada, and one of their leaders had a child. And Prabhupada said, "Give me your son, I will make him acharya." And the man was like, said, "He's too young, Swamiji. Give him, I will make..." It's funny, can't do that nowadays, right? Imagine you try to say, "Give me your son." You know, the social services would be immediately onto you. Doesn't happen now. But Prabhupada, on a number of occasions, he was looking. He was ready to train anyone. So the man said, "He's studying Sanskrit." And Prabhupada says, "He doesn't need Sanskrit to be an acharya. It's a lesson to us all." You know, one time, devotees asked Prabhupada, he was talking about establishing a Varnashram college. And Prabhupada said, and the devotee said, "So the Brahmins, they will study, they will learn Sanskrit, they will study in Sanskrit." And Prabhupada said, "Not necessary. You know, you can do it in another language. Point is, you don't need to know Sanskrit to be a Brahmin. You don't need to know Sanskrit to be an acharya. Because acharya is someone who receives Krishna's mercy." So what's the definition of acharya? Anyone know? There's various verses that indicate what is an acharya. Advaitad harinadvaitad, acharyam bhakta shankshanat. And when we glorify Advaitacharya, we say he is Advaita because he's non-different from Krishna. And he's acharya. Why? Bhakta shankshanat. What does that mean? What does shankshanat means? Because he's propagating. So an acharya means someone who propagates. Prabhupada said, "You recognize an acharya because his only business is how to spread Krishna consciousness." That is the qualification. So Srila Prabhupada, it was him, he was the one that was sweeping the courtyard outside the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and he was crying, "How will I carry out the order of my spiritual master?" Right? Prabhupada's, his particular qualification was, he took that order very seriously. Now, if we look at the history, you'll find that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave this order to many people. He gave so many people. But who actually took it seriously? Some of his followers tried, and they had some success, not so much. Bon Maharaj came, he did something. He met Adolf Hitler. Hitler shook his hand, and Hitler's advisor said to him, "We have no time for all this stuff." He wasn't interested. They weren't interested. It's actually, this is in the book Blazing Sadhus. There was Achyutananda Prabhu. He spent some time with Bon Maharaj. Bon Maharaj told him this particular story. So I wrote to Bhaktivikaswami because in his book it describes how that Bon Maharaj had a meeting with Hitler. But then in the book he says, it's unlikely that this meeting took place because there's any record of it. So I wrote to him, I said, "Well, it's in this Blazing Sadhus, you know, Achyutananda Prabhu, he met Bon Maharaj, and Bon Maharaj said that he actually did meet Hitler, just a brief meeting." So he said to me, he'll add that in the next reprint of Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. Whether he does or not, I don't know. But anyway, just one of those things, everyone. Hitler's very famous. Hitler's in the Bhagavad Gita, as it is in the law books for the next 10,000 years. This big demon Hitler is now famous. Anyway, we're discussing about the qualifications of the acharya. There's one statement in the Vayu Purana, and Kripa Moy Prabhu always quotes it. It's Achanoti Yashastartam Achari Stapayatyapi Acharati Yasmad Acharati Svayam Yasmad Tasya. No, sorry, is it? Acharyas Tena Kirtataha. So this is a lovely definition of the acharya. It's in the Vayu Purana. First of all, the acharya shastra artam. He knows the meaning of shastra. And then achare stapayatjapi. He establishes it in others. In other words, he teaches others to follow the scriptures. And acharate swayam, he personally teaches them. He personally shows by example. He practices by example. So famously, Lord Chaitanya, he said to Haridas Thakur, achara prachara namera karoho dui karya, tumi sarva guru, tumi jagatera arya. You're the guru of everyone. Why? Because achar, you practice what you preach. You see, achara prachara, there's two things we should do. Achar means practice and prachar means preach. If you do both, then you're like sarva guru, tumi sarva guru. You're the guru of everyone. Because some people, they practice, but they don't preach. Other people preach, but they don't practice. But when you put the two together, that's very powerful. And Krishna empowers such persons. So the point I want to make is the acharya is someone who teaches. Even though the word acharya means practice. Achar means practice. Prachar means preach. So why not call him a pracharya? Why not call him a pracharya? But anyway, the point is, achar is prachar. And this is something that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati taught. What is kirtan? And I'll say this even though I don't want to say this because it encourages people not to go in Harinam, but I'll say it anyway. If your practice is good, that is your preaching. That is also preaching. So if someone demonstrates wonderful absorption in japa, wonderful behavior, wonderful sadhana, then that itself is preaching, even though that person may not actively go out and preach, because you're preaching by example. So that's one example. So what is kirtan? Kirtan actually really means to spread. You know, Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Namara Prachar. Namara Prachar is the Yuga Dharma. There's other verses, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan, which says Krishna Nama Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. But if you want to take both of them, then you can be not congregationally chanting, but still engaging in the Yuga Dharma if you're spreading the holy name. That's Namara Prachar. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that this is Brihat Madanga, this book distribution, because even though it's not congregational chanting, it's spreading the holy name. Therefore, it has the same effect. So many ways. Prabhupada even said cooking, you can cook and that's kirtan. How is it kirtan? Well, if you cook it and you distribute it to people, then you're changing their hearts. Therefore, it's kirtan, it's spreading of the holy name. It's proactive. So if anything that's proactive in spreading Krishna consciousness can, in a sense, be called kirtan, or can be, in that sense, it's the Yuga Dharma, because it's Nama Ra Prachar. Now, I digressed. I was talking about this meeting with Ramanandis and Srila Prabhupada. So let's carry on the story. So then the man said, you can have him anytime, Prabhupada said. Any time means no time. I want him now. And Prabhupada said, and the man said, okay, after he finishes his studies, I will give. And Prabhupada said, okay, I accept. But they never did. Anyway, the story carries on. Many years later, at Matatva Prabhu, he goes to Kumbh Mela with some of his Gurukul students, and he hears a rumor. He hears there's one great Swami, and he has united the nine divisions of the Ramanandi sect. And he was thinking, wow, this is amazing. Who could do such a thing? So he goes. He says, I'm taking my children. He said, I want to take you to this person. He's obviously someone special because he's managed to unite all the branches of the Ramanandis. So they came, and then he was quite a young man, and there's all these very old, very senior devotees, you know, fanning him. They're gurus in their own right. And as this man is talking, this acharya is talking, at Matatva Prabhu recognizes him. He thinks, wait a minute, he's that boy that Prabhupada said, I want to make him acharya. So the conversation goes on. At the end of the conversation, at Matatva comes and starts speaking to this man. And the man says, do you remember me? He goes, you used to carry me on your shoulders. And because this man, he remembers at Matatva, because at Matatva was the Gurukul teacher, even back then. So this boy, he said, well, he's obviously a man now, he's an acharya now. He said, my father, He never took me to the Hare Krishnas. I remember this. He said to Prabhupada he would give me to the Hare Krishna movement, but he never did. He said, but before he died, he said to me, go to Varanasi. I want you to learn Mayavad for the purpose of defeating it. So he said it was very painful, but he studied the philosophy so well that he could defeat Mayavad. And then he said to Atmatattva Prabhu, he said, By the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada actually sort of stroked his head, this boy's head. He said, by his blessings, he said I could be acharya. So I thought, I will try and unite all the branches of the Ramanandis, because they said our preaching would not be powerful unless we could unite. And for many years I tried, and finally I succeeded, and it's by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Then he composed a lovely verse in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. He said, it will not be any disrespect if I say there was never before has there been an acharya like Srila Prabhupada, and never in the future shall there be one. And that is not an offense, because Ramananda, our leader, has predicted that such a thing would happen, that Krishna consciousness would spread throughout the world. And he instructed us that you just follow, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. They've already done it. You just follow what their example. So that's wonderful glorification of Srila Prabhupada from this acharya from the Ramanandis. So that's, you know, that's the power of Srila Prabhupada. So following is all about, it's all about an affair of the heart. So we're talking here about how the acharya, the heart of the acharya, the acharya really wants to spread Krishna consciousness. The acharya has a soft heart. So in this connection, there's a lovely pastime where Lord Shiva drinks the ocean. Well, he drinks the poison from the ocean. Now, when the demigods and demons are churning the ocean and all this poison appears, it's a big problem. So at that point, Lord Shiva, he gives some lovely instructions. He says, pranai svai pranino panti sadava kshana bangurai badavaireshu bhuteshu moiteshvat mamayaya. He said, those who are sadhus, they will, even with their life, they will sacrifice their life in order to help deliver those people who are fallen due to dualities of delusion. Badavaireshu bhuteshu. The living entities are badavaireshu. They're bound by envy, atmamayaya, because they lose their energy. But therefore the sadhu will go to no lengths to deliver these people. We have the example of Didichi Muni. So he gave his bones in order that he could make a thunderbolt weapon that would defeat the demons. So a sadhu, someone's really a real sadhu, it will even give up their life. So we have examples of people who would risk their life. Srila Prabhupada, of course. What is the most famous pastime of Srila Prabhupada? We talk about it the most. How he went on the Jaladuta and had two heart attacks, right? That's the story we always tell people. If you meet someone, you want to tell them about Prabhupada, you'd be guaranteed that's the story you're going to hear. I was recently sitting in Prabhupada's room, and they have this wonderful program where the guests, people come and they get a tour. We never used to have these tours, but now we have tours of Prabhupada's rooms. And I was listening, and there it was. Someone's talking about Prabhupada and saying he had two heart attacks. He's crossing the ocean, and he knew if he had a third, he wouldn't survive. But Krishna came to him. This is how we glorify Prabhupada, and rightly so. So Lord Shiva, he says, tapyanti lokatapena sadhava prayashojanaha paramaradanam tadhi purushakakilatmanaha, that for the sake of the suffering humanity, the sadhu will undergo austerity. And this is the highest form of worship. We want to know, what is the highest form of worship? It is to deliver others. So I was talking earlier on about how the guru is non-different from Krishna. So we sing it every morning, Shakshat Harit Venasamasta Shastraya. Uktastata Prab, Tastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbi, Kintupra Borya Priya Eva Tasya, Bande Guru Sri Charnaravindam. He is Shakshat Hari, but why is he Shakshat Hari? Kintupra Borya Priya Eva Tasya, because he's dear to Krishna. When you're dear to Krishna, you become Shakshat Hari in Krishna's eyes. But then you ask the next question, why is he dear to Krishna? Sometimes Prabhupada would talk about this. He'd say, the guru is Shakshat Hari. He's dear to Krishna. Why is he dear to Krishna? What's the reason? What is he doing that's making him dear to Krishna? Yes, he's a preacher. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kashchid me priya kritamaha bhavata nacha me tasman anya priyataro bhuvi. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no servant in the world more dear to me than the person who spreads Krishna consciousness. Right. So Prabhupada, his point was, the acharya, someone whose only business is spreading Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is very, very dear to the Lord, and he should be worshipped. Shakshat Harit Venasamasta Shastraya. Okay, you should worship as non-different from Krishna. So, I'm going to wrap up with a word of warning. So in the verse, in the purport, it's mentioned the word Kali Chela, right? What does Kali Chela mean? Disciple of Kali, right? So as I was saying earlier on, Prabhupada, although he was very critical at times, it doesn't run very deep. He still, especially at the end of his life, he was calling all his godbrothers and saying, please excuse my offense. You know, I said things, and they said, it is okay, you did it for preaching, and everything, a lot of sweet relationships. There's one of my favorite ones, and I mentioned this before, it involves Pramod Puri Maharaj and Prabhupada. So, and it's a wonderful story. There's one letter where Pramod Puri Maharaj wrote to Prabhupada and said, I've been given a temple, it's dilapidated, and you have a lot of wealth because you're spreading the movement throughout the West. You have so much wealth. Could you help us to renovate this temple? Prabhupada wrote back, it is true I have a lot of wealth. I am distributing so many books and so many lakhs of rupees are coming in every day. But you don't think you can take this wealth because it has passed through the hands of the malechas and you're a paka brahman, therefore you don't want to touch this. Now, we don't actually, until Mula Prakriti did her research, we don't understand the rest of the story. It's very funny, very, very funny. There's another part to the story. Before that, when Prabhupada came to India, he was, parading, displaying his disciples, and Puri Maharaj came, and at one point, one of Prabhupada's disciples offered prasadam to Puri Maharaj, and he wouldn't take it because he could see he was wiping his nose. He wasn't a very, very shuchi Brahmin, this Westerner. Prabhupada noticed that. He said, okay, he won't take prasad from my disciples because they're not high enough in standard. So that letter was his way of getting his own back in a nice way. Oh, you won't touch the money. It's contaminated by the malechas. You're too pure, you know. But anyway, later on, before Prabhupada left the planet, Puri Maharaj, he came and Prabhupada said, I want to give you something. And Puri Maharaj was like, oh, tell me. Yes, what would you like to give me? He said, not before that. He said, I want to ask something from you. And Puri Maharaj said, yes, anything, Swami. He said, I want you to sing, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Brindavan. Because Prabhupada couldn't go in Parakram, but he figured, if you just sing this bhajan, then that is the same as going on Parakram. And actually has a meaning because when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was leaving the planet, Puri Maharaj, he was just a brahmachari at the time, he was singing, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped him. He said, no, he wanted Bhaktiraksha Sridhar Maharaj to sing instead. So he'd been, as a little brahmachari, he has a very sweet voice, but he'd been denied the opportunity to sing for his Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada was saying to him, you can sing for me in my departure. You never got the chance. So he sung, and there was tears flowing down Prabhupada's eyes. And then Prabhupada said, and I want to give you something. And then he called one of his disciples, and he brought a plate of halva, offers it to him. And this time, Puri Maharaj took the prasad. And he narrated the story to Mula Prakriti. And she said, at that time, when he took the prasad, he got the realization, actually, Krishna consciousness can be spread to anyone, even the malechas can take to Krishna consciousness. He actually got that realization just from taking that prasadam. So it's a wonderful story. But why was I talking about this Puri Maharaj story? I was in the middle of something before that. Oh, yes, Kali Chelas. So, yeah, I was explaining how the differences don't run deep. So we should be very careful because this word Kali Chela can be misused. See, out of arrogance, you can have a certain vision. You can have a vision of how the Hare Krishna movement should be spread. You can have a vision about other Vaishnavas. You can see faults. You may be right. You may be wrong. You can start using it as name calling. You say, such and such, he's a Kali Chela. He's not doing this. He's doing that. And you can become a judge. But we have to be very careful about this because what might actually be happening is we might actually be falling under the influence of pride, arrogance, and we're thinking we're better than someone, and therefore we can use this term, such and such as the Kali Chela, they've been sent to spoil this movement, and we it can actually backfire on us because we're not actually in the position of being the judge. So we have to be very, very careful with that. I mean, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about Vaishnavas put on tilak, but actually they're just servants of Kali. Their business is just to line their pockets and enjoy women. But we have to be very, very careful that we don't use this particular label in the wrong circumstances, because we could be the one that's committing Vaishnava aparad, and then we've left the movement. Oh, I'm not part of this movement anymore. They're this, and not only is he a Kalichela, the other ones, they never helped me when I pointed it out, and they're all Kalichelas too, and you never know. You end up in your own glorious world by yourself thinking, I'm so pure, I can't find a Hare Krishna movement good enough for me, right? So we want to avoid that. So my advice is, don't start calling people Kalichelas. It's quite a heavy term. You're calling someone a disciple of Kali when they're wearing tilak, and you might just not know the full story. You know, I heard once an interesting story, how not to judge, right? There was one Vaishnav, he saw the guru and the disciple. And the disciple was like, he was very, very thin. He was starving. And the guru was bringing some milk to the disciple, offering milk to the disciple. And the disciple was about to drink it, and the guru was pulling the milk away. And he was doing this again and again. And this Vaishnav saw it and thought, this guru is so cruel. And this disciple is so hungry. He's just skin and bone. And he's not even letting him drink milk. Then the guru did it the third time. This time, snake came out. And he grabbed the snake, pulled it out. Because sometimes it's said that you swallow a snake, you know, you can't digest. The snake's eating all your food. So in order to bring out the snake, the guru was enticing the snake with the milk. And then, so he cured the disciple. So what looks to be one thing is actually something else. So whatever we see going on in the Gaudiya Vaishnava world, it is not always what we think it is. We don't always get the full story. And sometimes, actually, people deliberately protect other people and they take the criticism themselves. And if you're one of the people that criticizes someone, they're doing something for a reason that we don't know about. They're actually protecting something else. There's something going on behind the scenes. You don't know the full picture and you criticize, then that's very bad for your devotional life. And I'll conclude there. We've left some time. It's 10 to 9. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna.